Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the first ever video Dropship Podcast. Excited to be here on a Tactical Tuesday episode where today we're going to compare high-ticket dropshipping and Amazon FBA. And I got to believe anyone who's asking this question, John, they haven't started yet. And they kind of want to compare the two models and figure out which one is the best for them. I think some of the questions we wrote out, how much does it cost to start? How much money can I make? How hard is it? How much time will it take? How much can I sell it for? I think those are the questions people are generally asking. If you have other questions and you're on YouTube watching this, put it below in the comments. John and I will happily hop in here and answer all those questions. If you're on a podcast, I'd encourage you to, you know, join us in our Dropship Tribe Facebook group and let us know what you thought of this episode and how we can answer more questions around this. I do think when I first started, John, I was comparing these two myself. I wanted to know where can I make the most money and quit my job? That's all I really cared about. So have you, I know Amazon isn't really in Australia, or it wasn't. I know it's kind of building up over there, but over here in America, it's, you know, it's part of everyday life. And so have you considered this? Have you considered it from Australia into the US actually using Amazon FBA?
Yeah, look, I think when I first started out, when I was, same as you, exploring things around online business before I started dropshipping, I had heard of Amazon FBA, but you're right, I'm in Australia. Then I was in Australia as well, and Amazon wasn't even in Australia then. It's probably hard to believe for somebody from the US where it's been such a, you know, a big part of the e-commerce ecosystem over there, but it's a fairly recent newcomer to Australia. And now they're here. They have, you know, distribution centers and all that sort of thing here, but I'm not even really sure if Amazon FBA is a thing in Australia yet. I certainly did come across it though when I was exploring online business and the potential of doing it in America from overseas. I mean, it's, you can do that, right? And I could have done that, so it definitely was on my radar as one of the, yeah, and like you say, there were a few other things as well. So we've got some episodes coming up after this one as well where we're going to compare, you know, a couple of other online business models to dropshipping that people commonly come across. So like affiliate marketing, print on demand, both of which also are things that I've played around with as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was kind of getting hot back when I started. Amazon FBA was kind of the cool new thing. It was the Wild West. You could kind of throw up anything and get it to rank quickly and, you know, make a bunch of cash selling a bunch of junk. And slowly over time, that's, you know, tightened up, right? Consolidation happened. People realized there was a lot of junk. Reviews of Amazon sniffed out the way you could get reviews. And so now, for the most part, reviews are kind of legitimate, as close as they're probably ever going to get on Amazon. And so it's not quite the Wild West, but I do remember it being the new hot thing in 2015, 2016, when I was getting started. And it was certainly tempting. In fact, I launched my first product in 2016. I launched some gel pens. If you're on video, they're kind of hiding back here. I launched some gel pens back then, and I was partners on a adult coloring book business as well back in 2016, 2017, solely using Amazon FBA.
Kind of sounds like low ticket drop shipping there. A lot of junk. Wild West.
Yeah.
Same time frame.
Very similar. I was trying to start a brand. My brand was Accent Art Supply. I'm sure you can find that on the Wayback Machine somewhere as far as seeing what I had. And it kind of went hand in hand with the adult coloring books, which we ended up selling that brand for $350,000, I think, something like that. That brand's still around on Amazon, Creatively Calm Studios. Fun fact about that business, if you ever want to hear me complain about that partnership, quick plug for our Patreon, patreon.com/dropshippodcast. You can all get back all back episodes for free where I've definitely bitched about the partnership over there and one individual in particular. If you want to go get those dirty details, check out our Patreon. All back episodes are free and new episodes are just $5. All right, quick plug there. Had to throw that in there. But yeah, so I've been doing this for 7 years at this point. And so, definitely have some experience. I think for the listener, in case you're wondering, like, if you're listening to this, I hope you know what high ticket dropshipping is. If you don't, go back and check out episode 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, all of the early episodes. John and I really broke down this business model. What does it take to start? What does it cost to start? What is the difference between high ticket and low ticket? And so if you're still on that journey, go back to the beginning, check those out. But I do want to break down how Amazon FBA works for anyone listening to this that doesn't know what it is. So essentially, if you buy anything on Amazon today, it is likely fulfilled by Amazon, but you're buying from a third-party seller, much like myself. And that works in a sense that you create a seller central account with Amazon. You create your product listing on the page if it doesn't already exist on Amazon. And then you ship your products to Amazon. And from there, Amazon takes over. They handle the customer. They get all the customer data. They will package and ship the product for you on your behalf. They'll charge you a nice little handsome fee for doing so. And everything's kind of handled on their end from that point. So it's very appealing in a sense that if you can find the product and ship it into Amazon, everything's taken care of at that point. That's very appealing. I can see why that's appealing, but there are some downsides to Amazon. I'll get to that. But I want to reference, you can either send in your own products, your own branded products, have your own brand, build your own pages, or you can go to the clearance aisle at Target, at Walmart, at TJ Maxx, whatever's local to you, and go find things that are on clearance there that you can get at a discount, find their listing already on Amazon and ride their listing and simply send that stuff in, ride their listing as an extra seller on that page, and you will sell through it and you'll likely find some arbitrage there. I know I follow a lady on Twitter who does quite well. Every day she's got 50 boxes in her house that she packed up from whatever store she went to that day, and you know, good for her for hustling. Not for me, for sure. And then the other is you can sell someone else's brand. So that's kind of been the hot new thing going around, is a course will teach you how to reach out to some brands that are already on Amazon, convince them that Amazon is dangerous and Amazon could shut you down at any time. You need someone else selling your product on your listing and it will only take a small fee. So if Amazon ever shuts you down, we're still here to keep selling. That's a load of hogwash. I'm personally not worried about that as a brand owner, but my God, does my inbox have someone in it every single day pitching me this, and it's all the same script. So who's ever selling that course is doing great. So those are the three ways, right? You can sell your brand, you can sell clearance items from the clearance aisle, or garage sales or wherever, and you can sell someone else's products as a third party listed seller. So those are the ways that you can sell on Amazon, and that's how Amazon FBA works. But I'd love to jump into what does it cost to start, how to acquire customers, ongoing inventory costs, fees, exit multiples, all these things that I think you're curious about as far as comparing, should I go into high ticket dropshipping or should I do Amazon FBA? So if we just jump right in with startup costs, John, a lot of this stuff is covered on a channel, but I'm going to throw all the dropshipping stuff to John here where he can just give you a quick overview. What does it cost to start a dropshipping store, John?
I just want to jump in here real quick and say, if you're loving this show, the number one thing you can do to help us right now is to smash that subscribe or follow button and leave us a review. It really does help us to grow this show and reach more people. And you can do it right now while you're listening. And also, if you've got a friend or two that you know should be listening to this show, make sure you share it with them or just send them to dropshippodcast.com. We'd love to have them join us as well. And real quick, I've got two additional dropshipping resources that we would love to share with you. The first is our free dropshipping Facebook group called the Dropship Tribe. It's all about high ticket dropshipping and you can learn a ton in there. All you need to do is jump onto Facebook and search the Dropship Tribe or go to facebook.com/groups/dropshiptribe and hit the join button. Now, if you're loving the Dropship Podcast and you want more, we actually have a members-only version of this show where we go even deeper into high-ticket dropshipping. We do question and answers with our members, website reviews, teardowns, and a whole bunch of other fun stuff. It's just $5 an episode, which is like a cup of coffee. And as a bonus, you get free access to our entire back catalogue of episodes when you join. So you can binge it without paying a cent. Just head over to patreon.com/dropshippodcast. And just as a note, you can find the links to both of those resources below in the show notes. Now let's dive back into the show.
Look, you can get started for $500 or less. We worked out in an earlier episode that you could actually probably do it for around $300 if you really wanted to. And you can spend a little bit more. I mean, you could spend up to $1,000, you know, if you want to spend a bit more on things like branding or ads or whatever in the beginning, but you don't have to. So $500, probably a pretty good average figure.
Yeah. And for Amazon, here's what you need to think about, right? So I'm going to remove the clearance aisle and sell in someone else's stuff. That's just not the best way to use Amazon FBA, in my opinion. Well, I'm going to only talk about your own brand. If you're selling your own brand, number one, you have to identify a product on Amazon that's going to take a little bit of your time. You're going to have to go find a manufacturer for that product, likely in China. You're going to have to contact them, probably run some samples your way, change some things, run some more samples your way, get packaging designed, get everything ready to go so that it can go to Amazon. It's going to get shipped over here. So you have, at that point, you have to place a large enough order, minimum order quantity in China is probably going to cost you $2,000 to $10,000 probably. You're also going to want somebody to inspect that before it goes to Amazon. Likely, you don't have to, but likely you're going to want someone to actually look at it before you start selling the product. You're going to have to pay a seller central fee. That's really about it to get started. But again, that's going to take some months there, if I'm honest with you, as far as like going back and forth with a manufacturer. I don't know what product design is going to cost you. I know if I look back at my own cost, it was a few $100 and then your initial order, which again, if you're ordering from China, it's likely going to be $2,000 to $10,000. If you're looking at me specifically, I started this this pets brand behind me for less than $500. So it's totally possible, but I did that in 2016. And I listened to a podcast that said the $500 challenge is dead. And I made it work that day. They were proclaiming this isn't possible anymore, that you are going to have to make a bigger investment than that. So I do believe to get started, you're probably honestly $2,000 to $3,000 to $4,000. If I had to guess, is probably the low end of what it would cost you to get started on Amazon. So a big difference between that price and, you know, $300 to $500, or you know, if you want to go a little harder on ads, it might cost you a little bit more on high ticket dropshipping. But I would say definitely the winner there is high ticket dropshipping as far as like the cheaper way to get started. Next up, I would say, how much money can I make, John? John, you said before the call you thought you could give kind of a ballpark figure of what high ticket dropshipping stores can make. Like, what would you look at when you say how much money can I make doing this?
Yeah, look, well, I think we've certainly demonstrated that it's possible to make, in terms of revenue, you know, up to an eight-figure amount doing high-ticket dropshipping. That is possible. And plenty of people are in sort of the mid-seven figures a year in annual revenue, you know, $5 million, $3 million, $4 million, $6 million, something like that. So from a revenue perspective, that's certainly possible. From a profit perspective, look, you know, we've mentioned it on the show before, but you're probably net profit after you've paid for everything and, you know, what can you look to put in your pocket? You're probably looking in the order of 15% on average, right? Now, some businesses will do a bit more than that. And some months, some businesses will do a little bit less than that. But that's probably a pretty good ballpark figure.
I think this is the part where I pause my video and I go stand next to my rented Lambo to talk to you about the numbers that you can do on Amazon FBA. I love that you went to revenue right away. Everyone goes to revenue, right? If you're joining us because you saw some TikTok or some YouTube video or somebody's screenshots from their Shopify platform or their Amazon seller account, that's fucking revenue. That's not actually what you're taking home. And so my good friend Mike Jackness says, revenue is vanity, profit is sanity. And that's the fucking truth. Like I literally had a business where we did $1 million in sales and we made $0 at the end of the day. Like shit didn't work in that business. And so I would encourage you, if you're listening to this, don't follow the revenue numbers. Listen to what John said. And like whatever they're showing you for revenue, best case scenario, it's probably around 15%. That's what most businesses in the United States profit at the end of the day. Certainly there are some that are more. SaaS products are way high compared to that. And there's other businesses that are, you know, down in that 3%, 4%, 5% range, more in the food service industry and things like that. And so I would try to use those ballpark figures. But if I'm looking at Amazon FBA, you're probably going to be doing the same thing. At the end of the day, you might take home 15%, 20%. People are going to tell you, I have 80% margins on my product. Okay, great. So let's just do some math there. If you have 80% margins on a $50 product, that means it costs you $10. From $50, Amazon is going to take $7.50 of that right off the top. Plus you had to ship it to Amazon. So let's just take another $5 off of there. Then they're going to have pick and pack fees. You're going to also pay to acquire the customer, right? And so at the end of the day, once you take out all of those fees and, you know, likely you're going to have some SaaS products you're paying for, you might have some contractors you're paying for. There's a lot of fees that go into any business. You're likely going to come back down to that 15%. So I hesitate to give you any number of like, here's what you're going to make. I think it's very typical when we talk to our students to get to that $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 profit mark over the course of, you know, a year or so doing hard work in the high ticket dropshipping. I would say, is that totally possible on Amazon FBA? Totally possible. Your investment's going to be a little bit different. And I want you to think about the ongoing costs here rather than how much I can make. When you are selling on it, so let's say you spent $5,000 in your initial order. That got you, and we'll just say it's a dollar unit for lack of clarity. That got you 5,000 units in Amazon, but it took 90 days to get there, which is kind of short in the times we're in right now in supply chains. By the time that you get, if you're going to sell 5,000 in 6 months, after 3 months, you're going to need to order again, right? In order just to get product there, if you're going to sell through at that rate. And so once you've sold 2,500 units, how are you going to get the money to buy the next 5,000 units, right? You might have just about enough in your bank account to buy the next 5,000 to get them rolling. And by the time that order is here, you might have a 1 month where you can take a little profit in your pocket before you have to save for the next order, because hopefully sales are increasing, right? And so when you are selling your own product, you look super rich on paper. Like, money looks, it looks so good, but you constantly have to take that money and go buy inventory, which is on paper. You can write that off. Thank you, John's favorite president, Donald Trump. I should hit the laugh track here now that we have media available here. John hates him, by the way. You can write that off immediately on your cash basis for your taxes, but in your business, like, you still have to come up with that money from somewhere, right? And so, And then it's not on an accrual basis. It's not written off. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds there, but like, it's a constant roller coaster that you never seem to be able to get over the hump. Now, you do eventually get over the hump, but it takes a long time. And unless you're comfortable with debt of financing that and knowing you're going to sell it and taking on that risk, then you never actually get to realize the profits from that, at least for a year, maybe 2 years before you get over that hump. So, how much money can I make is a tough question when it comes to Amazon FBA, because again, it's your own brand and you have to keep reinvesting and buying inventory. And I think that is one key difference between Amazon and high ticket dropshipping. You don't have to buy any inventory on high ticket dropshipping. And the more you sell, great. As long as your supplier can keep up and they have stock, which, you know, again, can be an issue during these weird times we're living in. You can just keep selling, and you don't have you can take that profit at the end of the month that you can't necessarily take in Amazon. Hey, if you're a big fan of this podcast, you're likely going to be a big fan of our YouTube channel as well. John and I try to put out a video every week. We do our best, and we'd love to have you over there. You can check it out at dropshipbreakthrough.com/YouTube. Subscribe, check out a few videos, throw a thumbs up on there. Let the algorithm know you want to see more high-ticket dropshipping content from John and myself. All right, back to the show.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, for high ticket dropshipping, basically each month, you've just got to make sure you've got enough in your bank to cover, you know, your expenses, which, you know, I mean, obviously those can increase over time if you're trying to grow your business, but they're pretty predictable, right? I mean, it's, you know, once you put enough money in the bank to sort of cover a few months worth of expenses, if things don't go well for a month or two, like, you can take pretty much most of the profit that you make out of the business. So from that perspective, it's a good cash flow business, high ticket dropshipping, which is obviously one of the benefits to it. And of course, you do always have the potential with high ticket dropshipping to buy stock. Like, you have that choice at any point in time if you want to, but the nice thing is you don't have to.
So if I'm looking at the next part, John, it's more like, I don't know, how hard is it? How much time will it take? I feel like this is a very subjective question, right? Somebody could hop online, find a product right away that matches the criteria on Amazon and be able to get moving quickly. Another person might stumble through product selection. Same with high ticket dropshipping. Somebody might stumble on a great opportunity for a market. Others might come up with the same ideas that everyone else comes up with and have to work through those ideas before they come up with something a little more unique or a little more for them. And so I don't really want to say how hard it is, how much time it'll take. They both can be passive in their own ways. You can get a drop shipping kind of ticking along and get your ads set up and sales are rolling in and you can kind of sit back. If you're not growing, you're dying, of course, but you can kind of sit back and coast for some time. If you want to take a vacation, great. Or you want to work abroad, you can definitely do that. Same with Amazon FBA. So long as you can continue to acquire customers, whether that's through optimizing your listing or spending money on Amazon ads or getting, you know, mom and pop bloggers to post about you, things like that. So long as you can keep sales rolling, you can kind of take a break too and keep inventory going. It's more of a cash flow thing over there, where high ticket dropshipping, you know, you're processing orders and you're handling things like that. So, you know, I'm going to give that kind of an equal scale, but I do want to touch on, I think we've touched on some of the downsides of dropshipping on this channel. Certainly there can be supplier issues. There can be, your ability to advertise can sometimes be taken away. You are a little bit out of control. You are selling some other people's brands. But I do think the downsides on Amazon are a little bit higher in my opinion, just because it's Amazon's customer. It's not yours. So you're never getting the data on Amazon. I think that's a big thing for me. You're never getting any customer data. This is all Amazon's customer. You used to be able to contact them. Your ability to contact them has been extremely limited over the last year. So you have no ability to really help the customer. If they have any issue whatsoever, they can just return it. Amazon will just refund them. That comes right out of your pocket. They just refund them. It is what it is. Product comes back to their warehouse where you can have it shipped to you or destroyed. In my case with supplements, it just needs to be destroyed. I'm not going to resell something that was returned or opened. They have high fulfillment costs. They're taking 15% of every sale just for the pleasure of doing business with you, as well as, you know, all the pick and pack fees that are on there, which you can go find that out for yourself if you just Google Amazon fulfillment calculator, I believe, or Amazon FBA calculator. You can go see what it would cost for them to ship it for you. You do have limitations on warehouse space, especially during the holidays. They have expanded greatly over the last couple of years. In fact, I think they overexpanded during COVID. So the limitations have gone away in the last couple of months, but there is limitations on warehouse space. So you can't really get ahead on product. There was a point there where I couldn't even keep 30 days worth of stock in their warehouse, right? And so if it takes me 15 days or from China, 90 days to restock it, how are you supposed to keep up with that when you can only send in 30 days at a time, right? That it's a nightmare. Amazon has been known to substitute someone else's product and ship it as yours. In fact, my manufacturer screwed up and shipped them 140 bottles of something completely different than our dog supplements. And they just simply yelled at me for not labeling them correctly, stuck my little Amazon UPC ASIN on there, and proceeded to ship those off to customers. Completely wrong product. They don't care, right? That's my fault. All of those refunds came back to me. I had to get all of that stuff taken out of the warehouse, which left me, you know, that takes time as well for them to pull it back out. And I had to sit with no stock, no sales for 2.5 months roughly before I could get my new stock back in there, let alone I blew off some customers that way. A lot of bad reviews came in because they shipped me the wrong product. Again, they think it's Amazon and then they don't think it's Amazon. The customers can be a nightmare over there. Your products are shipped in Amazon boxes, so there's not really much you can do about that. There's no customization. You're not supposed to put any inserts. I know some people still do. You're not supposed to communicate with the customer in any way. You're not supposed to drive them off of Amazon in any way. And so you're a little limited on that. And the biggest one, you're at the mercy of Amazon, right? So the company sets the rules and they can change them at any time. They can kick you off the platform at any time. I know I've seen some other people get kicked off of there. Knock on wood, I've never had any issues personally, but I've definitely heard the horror stories. I've even had to email jeff@amazon.com to get one of my issues resolved. It just was not getting resolved due to their honestly poor customer service on the seller side. And so there, I think there's a lot more downsides on Amazon FBA. Don't get me wrong. There's still opportunity there. I still sell there. My friend Tom sells a great course on this and he did well and he exited his business for a staggering figure. I think there's opportunity over there, but if I was just starting out, I think I would, you know, weigh the two next to each other and I would choose the easier option where I think I can actually learn real marketing. Amazon, you're not going to learn how to do any marketing whatsoever. You might learn a little bit of SEO or a little bit of their A9 algorithm or a little bit of running ads, but you're not going to learn real marketing. And you don't own any of the customers, so you can't market to them after they purchase from you anyway. So I would have to, between all of those things, I would have to personally lean towards dropshipping, but I'm not opposed to FBA. I know a ton of people that do it and do it well.
Totally. And look, I mean, some people listening will say, like, with dropshipping, you know, you know, when you're talking about the control that you have, that you don't have as much control. Some people say, well, what if your product stops working on dropshipping? You know, your business can go away overnight as well, which would kind of be comparative to being kicked off of Amazon, for example. But we're talking about high ticket dropshipping here. So that's less of a problem because you're not just working with one product. You're not just working with one supplier. Yes, you can have suppliers that stop selling their products or they go out of business or they stop allowing you to sell them. But usually you're going to have 10, 12, 15 other brands on your site that you can keep selling. So it's much less likely that you run into those points where everything just crashes down overnight and you're kind of sort of dead in the water.
And I think the other thing I want to touch on, John, is like exit multiples. So because you don't own your customer, because you only have one sales channel, because you are at the mercy of Amazon, you're actually going to get a smaller multiple when exiting. Now, of course, there's some outliers here. I'm in one of them, the pet space. If you're on the recurring revenue side of the pet space, you get better multiples. If you are on the recurring side of skincare, hair care, makeup, things like that, that are, you're going to get a better multiple. But the overwhelming majority of Amazon businesses get a smaller multiple than you would get if you built a real business with high ticket dropshipping, owned your customers, had multiple streams of revenue coming in, whether that's from Google Ads or whether that's from SEO or whether that's from social media or influence or whatever. You're, like, as long as you have multiple ways to acquire a customer, that's actually going to increase your multiple. So during COVID, when there was money everywhere, the U.S. printed 40% of all U.S. dollars that ever existed. Money was sloshing around everywhere, and aggregators came out, and they were paying pretty big multiples on these Amazon businesses. And if you've read anything in the news lately, they're all hurting real bad right now because they made some poor decisions in it. So I think the time of decent multiples in Amazon FBA is going away again. It's going back to where it was, where they were getting 2.5x on revenue. And what that means is you take your last 12 months profit and you multiply that by 2 or 2.5. So you're getting 2.5 years to sell your business versus high ticket drop shipping, where I've exited from 2.5 on a business that wasn't even a year old. Actually, I think it was like 2.8 to I've exited as high as 5 on different businesses. I've been offered higher than that on some other businesses. And so certainly you're going to get a higher multiple, and you can do the research yourself. Just go to empireflippers.com or Quiet Life Brokerage and look at the different multiples that these businesses are selling at. And you are in fact going to get a much bigger payday were you to exit your business if you owned high ticket drop shipping over Amazon FBA.
Yep. And that's an important consideration. A lot of people get into online business with that endpoint in mind. And yeah, definitely.
So we need to declare a winner. Can we get some cool graphic to pop up on the screen and say, high ticket drop shipping is the winner?
High ticket drop shipping is the winner. Woo.
Well, look, you're obviously, we're a little biased, right? We teach this, yep, but we do it. We have a lot of experience here, and myself, I have experience in both, right? And so just from the outside to the beginner, if I'm talking to the beginner, no brainer, go into high ticket drop shipping. In my opinion, it's going to cost you less. You have much higher upside, a lot less risk. If you are somewhere along and you have some money to burn and you want to give this a shot, give it a shot. Like, I don't think there's much to lose here other than your initial investment if the product doesn't take off, but do your research, find a product that's actually going to work, and, you know, go for it. I've done that too, as far as manufacturing your own product inside your dropshipping store and selling it over there. That works too. I don't think there's anything wrong with Amazon FBA, but I do think it's going to cost you less. It's going to be less risk to get started with high ticket dropshipping.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode 1. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.